The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. You've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things to get you out of the mess that you're in. Well, here's an opportunity. Give me a call. Let's kind of walk it through and see if there's another option that you haven't thought about, something that, you know, might actually work for you. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give me a call. I'd love to talk with you. And we're going to talk about several different things today. We're going to touch upon this crazy pandemic coronavirus again, because it keeps changing by the moment. And what's changing even more is the scare that's out there among so many. You know, if you walk into the stores, the shelves are emptying with toilet paper and water and hand sanitizers. And it's like, oh my God. And, you know, are we really losing it? I'm going to do a little comparative analysis for you today and tell you what's going on. I've been in practice over four decades. And during that period of time, I've gone through many different types of scares and processes. So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to also get into more of regenerative medicine. And it's an emerging therapy that's everybody's hearing something about. Everybody's out there advertising it. You've seen ads on Facebook and on the radio and on television. And you need to know, and I've promised you that a couple times. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that today. But seriously, I want to talk about your stuff. And by the way, when I'm not here and you want to get a message to one of the doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing, simply go to Rozelle Care, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, RozelleCare.com. Send us a note and one of our docs will get back to you and, you know, answer whatever questions that you may have. Love to do that for you. That's why we do the program on a weekly basis, and we try to keep the information fresh and new on an ongoing basis. Let's talk about pain patterns. Let's talk about, you know, this problem that we're having getting people off drugs. You know, we talked about opioids and gabapentin and things like that over the last many, many weeks, and we keep touching upon it. But what I want you to know about these things is people are being addicted far more than even the coronavirus. We're losing about 47,000 people every year from opioid side effects. 47,000 people because of prescription drugs. And that's not even to mention the people that, you know, are doing things on their own or taking things off the street and so forth. So when you compare that to the things that are out there and you add that to the flu, and we're going to talk about those numbers as we go on in the program, we have a problem. You know, just because you have something that hurts, the problem is not which drug. The problem is, where's it coming from? And if you can identify the problem, you can turn things around. If you can't identify the problem, you're stuck in treating the symptom, and that's not okay. But unfortunately, we get into our daily routines, we get into our habits of life, and we don't want to break them because, you know, God forbid that we have to do something different to shift and to change. We want immediacy. We want somebody else to step up to the plate. We don't want to necessarily take responsibility. You know, in the years I've been in practice, I've had the pleasure, the privilege, the opportunity to treat many different people from many different venues of life, major professional athletes and, you know, corporate executives, multi-billionaires, people that have had absolutely nothing, who've come off the street. We started our foundation, Caring for Others, years ago to serve people who need care on many different levels, who have absolutely nothing, and to perpetuate education among those who are going to natural schools. And, you know, this radio program has been part of all that. It's been part of telling the real story about how you can take control, how you can turn your life around. And that's, you know, my book that I came out with about 5 years ago, Ageless Health. Health is a do-it-yourself program, which is still available, by the way. You can either get it online with us, or you can go online other places and find it as well. But let's start out with this pain pattern, this situation that everybody's trying to scramble for. You know, your pain is not an aspirin deficiency, my friends. It's not something that, you know, reach into the medicine cabinet and just numb it up for a while. That's not the way it works. You can get rid of the pain, but the problem continues to exist. There's many things out there. You know, enzymes and other natural products can help. And we're going to talk to you about the chronic pain and, you know, the subsets that are there. But the takeaway is simply this. From a wellness standpoint, you should always include very specific supportive mechanisms within your body, from lifestyle to nutrients that you're taking, the dietary patterns that you embrace, and so forth. And I want to get into that as we go through. But realize that if you got a headache, you have a shoulder pain, you hear this crunching and cracking as you're moving your hip or your shoulder, your knees, those are warning signs. It's telling you something is not right. And when you go to a physician and he says, let's watch that, my commentary has always been, watch what? Till it gets to the place where you need to have surgery, so it becomes much more expensive and debilitating, and the resolution portion, meaning the rehabilitation portion of that process, takes forever. Think about the economic burden that is about all of those different types of interventions. But when we're talking about pain, we're talking about the body's mechanism, the body's ability to handle certain things. There's a friend of ours, it's called cortisol. Cortisol, as we all know, is a stress hormone, correct? So you've heard about it. I mean, if I took each one of you and I said, what's cortisol? Many of you say, well, I really don't know, but I've heard the term and I know it's there. And a lot of you say, well, cortisol is a stress hormone, but do you know what it does? So cortisol is a hormone that is produced by the outside of the adrenal gland. Your adrenal gland are small little glands that sit on top of your kidneys and help you maintain the stress and strains of life without succumbing to them. And so this stress hormone actually is necessary for you to survive. It helps you heal. Where we get in trouble is if there's way too much or not enough. When it gets way out of control, where in your chronic pain patterns and so forth, you actually will deteriorate. Your body will break down because it causes high levels of inflammation. And if you've been listening to the program, you know inflammation means acid. So it's an acidic problem that becomes deteriorating throughout the system. Now, if it's way too low or non-existent, you can't fix anything. It's not there. And it's buffered with this other substance called DHEA, and they're both a balancing act. They kind of keep each other in check all the time. And when one is dropping, the other one, as a response, will get a little higher as a safeguard. And then pretty soon, ultimately, they both crash. And then I have a hard time getting you out of the chair because your body's not going to work on any level, notwithstanding the pain that you may be in because of that. We see patients on an ongoing basis that have all types of pain, whether, you know, it's just a chronic headache that doesn't go away, or, you know, a shoulder problem because now they can't lift, they can't hold, they drop things, you know, their back hurts, their knees hurt. And we have to take it through and not do the same thing that's been done on an ongoing basis. And what's that? Throw a drug at it. Take this. Call me in the morning. We'll watch it. At some point, you're looking at a hip replacement. At some point, you're looking at a knee replacement. And we look at those things and say, hey, you know, is there another way? Well, we're in the world and science of regenerative medicine. And that means that we can repair, which we've known from the natural point of view for many years now, repair, restore, and fix. So no longer are people sitting there unaware that there's a way to regenerate. It comes down to, what does it take? But you're looking at a cooperative landscape of healthcare today with doctors of chiropractic and physical medicine physicians that are coming together to combat chronic pain and dysfunction and disease. And this is going to segue into everything that we're talking about today. But the healthcare landscape is continuing to evolve. What we know as take this pill and call me in the morning today, 20, 30 years from now is going to be almost non-existent because of the things that are coming up there. But, you know, we talked about this opioid crisis, and it's left physicians across the board, regardless of their specialty, with limited options to treat, chronic pain and dysfunction. I've had the privilege of being able to take patients who have suffered significantly and being able to turn things around. And we always have our, you know, we call it in our office an 80-10-10 rule. 80% of the people that we see, we can resolve their problems completely. 10% of the people that we see, we can help. And 10% of the people, for whatever reason, we don't get the results that we want to get. So why is that? Well, there's that last 20%. Those are the ones that I lose sleep over. Those are the ones that are stuck in my brain constantly. And I lose sleep over them because my brain says, what is it that's causing the problem that I know full well should be able to resolve itself? And what are we missing? And what is it that I can't get the patient to do? You know, years ago when I first went into practice, I used to go home angry at nighttime. And I used to make my household a mess for about an hour after I got home at night because I'd get angry, but people would not do what they needed to do. They wouldn't change, you know, their lifestyle. They became couch potatoes, if you will, and not moving through. They ate and consumed things that could only destroy their body, and their mental output was horrible. It sucked. And so those are the three pieces that we look at when it comes to any type of situation. So we're looking at this compartmentalization of pain. That means everything is stuck, if you will, into this whatever it is and whatever joint it happens to be. So docs across the board have huge pressure that's put on them, to provide not only specific and applicable fixes, if you will, but one that can be opened up to everyone. So the confluence, if you will, of supply and demand resulted in the growth of a lot of different energies, a lot of different therapies that have been there in some form or another for a long period of time, but now, you know, they're grasping to them because there's no other option to resolve that other 20%, the one that just doesn't go away, the ones that are costing billions upon billions of dollars, you know, to our economy. So what happens, you know, that really struck the chord? Well, when you have a patient that comes in and, you know, you're treating a bad hip, and sometimes it's a foot problem, sometimes it's a knee problem, you know, the foot bone's connected to the knee bone, connected to the hip bone, you know, that old story. Well, it's very true when it comes to neurological pathways and problems, but you still have, if you don't fix it completely, if the patient's not willing to change a few things, you've got a whole lot of shifting that is not okay. So when we talk about regenerative medicine, it's a process of replacing or regenerating tissue to restore normal function. You know, so initially, you know, it was open to, you know, professional athletes, and, you know, they're the ones that understood it. About 27 million Americans suffer from what we call degenerative osteoarthritis. 27 million of you. That's bone deterioration. So regenerative medicine today is a marketplace that is growing exponentially. We're talking about $100 billion and by another year or so, and far more is expected to expand exponentially above that. So, you know, when we're talking about a highly expensive procedure such as a hip or knee transplant, you know, the global market just for that is about $35 million on an annual basis. That's craziness. So what can we do to fix that? So we're going to talk about different types of therapies. We're going to talk about what stem cells are all about. We're going to talk about growth factor therapies. And I want you to begin to understand that you don't have to be where you are right now. You can be better and fully resolute. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. We're talking about regenerative medicine today and chronic pain patterns. We said that, you know, chronic pain is probably the number one most devastating and life-threatening condition that we have in this country. Why? Because annually, 47,000 people die of prescription medications trying to beat the pain, if you will, and the addiction process is significant. And you go out and when you can't get it from your doc anymore, you're going out into the streets and picking it up from other people. So let's, you know, get into that a little bit. As I promised you, we will talk about the coronavirus and this craziness that's going on. As I said earlier in the program, you know, you go to the stores right now, the shelves are empty and people, you know, we've got a pandemic that's being generated, and I'm not sure why. And, you know, 40 plus years of practice, coming up 43 next month, it's unbelievable to me that we're not becoming proactive, meaning how do we really take care of ourselves instead of reacting and causing things to be worse? What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching them about how to, you know, analyze something and really do the things that need to be done? Love to talk to you about it. And if you have a question, 888-630-9625, that's how you reach me here. We're going to get into that a little bit more, but I want to kind of set the stage for this, you know, pain pattern of and how it relates to the ongoing, continually expanding, involving regenerative medicine options that are out there. You know, so we said regen or regeneration simply means replacing, repairing something that is busted, broken. And, you know, you go to your docs and you say, well, you have osteoarthritis. And it's like, well, what do you expect for your age, correct? Well, there's a lot that you can expect for your age. And, you know, when you're talking about 27 million Americans suffer from osteoarthritis today, that's crazy. And, you know, in 2030, which is a decade away, you know, 25% of U.S. adults will be diagnosed with osteoarthritis. So it's expanding. It's getting even worse. Why? How come? What's going on? You know, is it that because we're just finger pointing that we're, you know, saying, well, this must be the situation and it limits us and then we buy into what do you expect for your age? Well, there are four primary regenerative medicine options that are on the market today. And actually, there's more than that. You have things that irritate tissue, so it forces the body to try to repair itself, but they have side effects as well. You have something called protease inhibitor therapies. You have stem cell therapies, which is the craze. Everybody seems to know about those, and growth factor therapies. So growth factor therapies, you know, there's these things called cytokines, which we'll get into, and proteins that contain you know, these anti-inflammatory enzymes within the system. And I'm bringing up that as enzymes because I want you to remember that, because we're going to talk about some things that are really easy to do as the program goes on. Irritant therapies, you may have heard of something called prolotherapy and ozone and prolozone therapy. And these are, they include adding substances that are multiple irritants, you know, along with numbing agents into a degenerative or injured joints in the area of pain. These therapies cause, remember we talked about inflammation and how inflammation is important, but you just can't have too much of it. And that increases your cortisol levels as well. So it kickstarts regeneration by stimulating the body to produce certain types of cells. If you want to know what they're called macrophages, by the way, which, these cells eat up, they ingest, they destroy the irritating thing that's there, and they trigger the healing response that we want to have. And these irritant therapies, if you will, are excellent treatment for different forms of musculoskeletal and joint problems that are chronic, and particularly when other therapies have not worked, because you're always going to do things first before you do something that may or may not have a side effect. The effect of the irritant therapy is just like jump-starting a battery in a tractor, you know, to get the engine to turn over. You've got to do something to get it going. A protease inhibition therapy, protease is a nutrient. Proteases are things that your body does produce, but sometimes not enough. And it eliminates factors causing the cartilage degeneration. That's your osteoporosis. Your osteoarthritis is when the cartilage is destroyed. And we want to make sure that we preserve that. We don't want that cartilage to be destroyed. So we're going to get into these very specifically. We're going to talk about a little bit more about these protease therapies. We're going to talk about stem cell, what that really is. And we're going to talk about growth factor therapies and some of the things that you can do for yourself. But we're here at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Let's talk about what's going on with your pain patterns and what we can do to fix them and turn them around completely. But global regenerative medicine is on the rise, and we have to make sure that we know how to value. It's a $100 billion a year business. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I'm in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that has to do with you. That's why we're here. That's why we do the program. And that's why we have our ongoing in-house continuing education programs at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And by the way, if you want to know about those and what's coming up, just go to rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, rozellecare.com, and check it out. And by the way, if you go to that website, there's all kinds of things available to you. And if you want to get to other programs that we've done in the past, got several hundred of them listed on YouTube at RozelleRadio.com, and you can check them out. They're under topic and date and so forth. And if you have a question, as I said earlier, give the office a call or send us an email, and one of our doctors will definitely get back to you with an answer. We're talking a little bit about regen, and in about a little longer in the program, we're going to start talking to you a little bit about this craziness called coronavirus, and making you go to the stores and wiping out all the toilet paper and so forth. And, you know, I have a little bit of an issue with the silliness that's going on. It's, you know, it's not a silly condition. It's one that needs to be paid attention to, but you need to know really what it is and not listen necessarily to all the hype and look at who's affecting the most, what's happening, what simple things can you do to make a difference, and we're going to get into that. Let's get back into talking about these regenerative medicine processes that are available to you today, and it's going to grow exponentially over a period of time to the point where regen in about 10 years will be probably the thing to do. And you're talking about, you know, a $100 billion marketplace right now. And it's only going to explode exponentially over a period of time, because all of us want to, what, be strong, have good function, and live longer. Well, that's the whole thing on regenerative medicine. I did a program recently, and one that I continue to teach, and I keep tweaking it and updating it, and it's on how your epigenetic patterns, your genes, if you will, express themselves based on all kinds of things. And some people are more predisposed to degenerative condition, but it doesn't mean that you have to deal with it. There's these things we talked about, you know, regenerative therapies, irritant therapies that go in. We said prolotherapy is one of them, and ozone therapy is another one, and prolozone is another one. And we started talking about protease inhibition therapies. And basically those are therapies that eliminate the underlying cause for joint space degeneration and tissue breakdown. You know, if your doctor puts you on steroid, anytime you go on a steroid, you actually cause the joint space to worsen quickly. It causes degeneration. You know, years ago, you know, professional athlete, they take them in the locker room at halftime and they juiced them up with a shot and so forth. Now that can't do that stuff, because it's the short end to a downward spiral, and a lot of guys, you know, saw shortened careers because of that. Now they know better, and they're doing a lot of things that we're talking about. But if you have, you know, we use the alphabet soup, right? OA, osteoarthritis, or you have DDD, degenerative disc disease. I find those things so curious that people have to have those things to talk about stuff. But nevertheless, you know, when you're talking about these things, what happens is that we want these protease inhibitors, if you will, we want them to be eliminated. Protease, you know, proteases are catabolic. That means they destroy certain things, and they do destroy tissue, and they break larger molecules into smaller units. Proteases trapped in your joints, in your shoulders, in your knees, and so forth, basically catabolize. They eat the cartilage. They break it down. And you know, another one that's very common that does this all the time, that breaks joints down, is just aspirin. You know, any of your NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, will do that. They compete for the things that actually heal the joint, so that causes, as an end product, the joint to destroy itself. So it's like a Venus flytrap, if you will. You know, you have a lot of things going on, and you know, once you have these proteases, they're bound on in the cartilage, the molecule irritates. It's almost like a suicide cascade, if you will, and it causes death and destruction of these tissues, and then you begin to see this breakdown. So what we want to see is what can stop that from, and then restoring the normal restoration process. And there's ways of doing that. So if you take a small sample of fluid from the joint or the disc and you send it to the lab for testing, you know, the test actually can be done, by the way, and it looks for a presence of a certain substance within that fluid. And then it can actually put these inhibitors, if you will, into the joint and cause the joint from breaking down or stop it from breaking down. So these things are available. They're there, and your physicians should know about it. We, you know, in the office, we do certain things. It's not for everybody, and it's not something that you say, well, this is what we're going to do. No, you do rehabilitation, you do structural manual manipulation, you do acupuncture, you do laser, you do nutritional. But then stem cell therapy, which is the hype that's out there right now, and we do some stem cell through our sister company called Aegis Health Regenerative Medical Group. It's results in a greater cell signaling and cell recruitment than other therapies do. And stem cells are known as mesenchymal signaling cells, and they're the blueprint, if you will, the way that the cell knows how to fix itself and replicate tissue and make things better. So you have things that are known as polycore, and you have things that are called exosome and so forth. And they work differently in the body. And, you know, it's analogous, if you will, to putting a new seed in the garden after the old seed, you know, has grown and broken down. But we're talking about breakdown for other things. And then you have growth factor therapies. Protein-enriched plasma. That's your blood, by the way. That's spun down. And by the way, when you combine PRP with stem cell together, the impact is much more significant. So protein-enriched plasma with stem cell can exponentially increase the body's capacity to heal. So we're looking at, you know, amniotic fluid growth, which is, in my opinion, is not the thing that you should be doing, only with live births. And there's a whole conversation that we're going to have with that, because we're going to set up a program to teach you about those things specifically and what you need to look at. So we look at these pieces and which is right for you. Well, first of all, we look at structural, chemical, emotional. You have to make sure that you change your lifestyle. You have to change your dietary patterns. You got to get your exercise and so forth. And yeah, it means a little work on your part, but at the end of the day, it's your body, right? So we're looking at regenerative tissue and things that can change things. And we're looking at enzyme therapies as well. Enzymes that you can get, and things like amylase and bromelains and papains and so forth. Together, they can cause a decrease in the inflammatory reaction. They begin to eat up, if you will, using that term, to get rid of the debris, the garbage, and begin to restore function. Let's talk a little bit about, and we're going to get back to this in a second, but I promise you I'd talk a little bit about this crazy coronavirus. And not that it's not important, not that it's not something that you really need to protect yourself from, but in my opinion, we're making people crazy. And we're making it crazy for what? I'm not sure. The story's out right now. But this coronavirus is like any other virus. Your body has immunological reactions to it. It's been around. By the way, coronaviruses have been around forever. It's not something that is new, except this one, for whatever reason, has been manipulated. It's been revamped. And we know that the Chinese, through their Wuhan, you know, biosafety level 4 facility, were the ones that did this. Was it a weaponized pathogen? Well, there's a lot of suspicion that COVID-19 was that specifically. You know, it was specifically set up to do research, you know, on coronaviruses. This laboratory was, and SARS. So, as I told you last week, the Wuhan laboratory was built by the French with U.S. dollars. And that's one thing that they don't tell you about, right? So the U.S. government has spent a lot of money, you know, on biological warfare, but a lot of other folks have done the same thing. So I just want to keep that out there so you can continue to do your research. But here's the deal. Here's what you really need to know about this, in my opinion, this craziness that, you know, everybody is scrambling and going to the stores to protect yourself. I was sent an article. There's a doctor by the name of Dr. Abdu Sharkaway. And he's a doctor and, you know, an infectious disease specialist. And he's been at this for more than 20 years doing these things. He's seen sick patients across the board on a daily basis. And he's, you know, he's worked in inner city hospitals and in the slums of Africa, treating patients with HIV, AIDS and hepatitis and tuberculosis and SARS and measles and shingles and whooping cough and diphtheria. And, you know, he's still there. He's hasn't succumbed. And, you know, people are scared right now. They're overwhelmed. And the doctor, if you read his article, goes on to say that he's not scared. He said he's concerned of the implications of this novel infection, this agent that has spread worldwide and continues to find all kinds of footholds in different areas. So he's concerned about the welfare for, you know, those who are older, obviously, because they're the ones that are very susceptible, then frail health, or they have immunological dysfunction. They're the ones that are going to suffer the most. And, you know, disproportionately at the hands of this new craziness, because remember I said it is likely and probably, you know, actually evidentially one that has been targeted because of manipulation of an ordinary coronavirus to attack the respiratory system. And people who are getting it that don't have these things have a very mild run of this. So, you know, what this Dr. Sarkaway says that, you know, he's afraid that this the loss of reason and wave of fear that's grabbed a hold of our society into this almost as a spellbinding panic that's taking place. And, you know, people are stockpiling stuff and they're going out and getting these N95 masks and they're being stolen from hospitals and urgent care clinics and so forth. People are just ripping them off. And those are the people that need them when they go in to treat other folks. And, you know, the instead of being proactive as a society, we're reacting. You know, I've been in practice coming up 43 years, and I've been exposed to everything you can possibly think of. I've gone out and I've treated patients in inner city, and I have patients, or I have staff members who are immunologically compromised because of things that have happened in their lives. And we, as a lifestyle, have made sure that we keep our immune systems strong. You know, in 43 years of practice, plus professional school, I've missed 3 days of practice, period, over the years. One, when I did have a bout of the flu, and this goes back years ago, but I was only out a day, and I was fully recovered the next day. Another time when I had poison ivy from one end of my body to the other, man, I pushed on 14 pounds of water weight. And another one where I was just beat up, run down, and I had been pushing too much, and I had gotten very little sleep for an extended period of time, and I said, I'm done, I can't do this, let alone get myself out of bed. But what's the difference? Why, you know, have I, and by the way, I have not had an influenza shot in my entire professional career. I've only had one when I was 18 years old, when I started at Kent State University, and I didn't know better, and I, having been in, you know, platoon leader's class component in the Marine Corps at Quantico when two Navy corpsmen hit me with everything they could possibly think of. But that's it at the end of the day. And I've had to do some work to get rid of the effects of some of those things. But at the end of the day, you know, a flu is or whether it's a coronavirus or any other virus, or you can go across the board and compare them. Right now, you know, if I told you that in Virginia, we just said we got the second case identified in Virginia, right? Well, I hate to tell you that the state of Virginia, just from the flu, right, there's been 140,000 hospitalizations this flu season due to the ordinary flu, and there's 6,600 deaths from the flu. Now, why don't you just sit and swallow that a little bit and think about what I just told you? Now, is that across the board? Probably. Now, if we go in and we start looking at these numbers and we compare it with the this crazy coronavirus, which one is worse? Which one is worse? And then if we go to the early part of the program, we talk about deaths due to opioid addiction, 47,000 per year. Now, take a look, do the research. You're going to find the things that I'm telling you are accurate. They're true. You need to protect yourself. You need to wash your hands. You need to make sure that you cough in your sleeve. You need to take your vitamin C, a couple grams. My opinion, by the way, to bring up your immunological response, vitamin D, some probiotic, a little bit of selenium, zinc, echinacea. All these things increase your immunological system. And get rid of the sugars in your diet. One teaspoon of sugar or the equivalent of added sugar will decrease your immunological response significantly. Your white blood cells are there, but they're comatose. They can't help you. So we're sitting there, we're beating the drum. Do you think there's some money behind it? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, it may be a thought process that we all need to consider. Let's see who comes up with the first vaccine and how quickly it's going to take them to get to that place. You know, call me a skeptic, but I think there's a whole lot you can do without being crazy just by taking normal precautionary methods. Yes, people who have lung problems and so forth are going to be more susceptible. There's ways of handling that for them and for all of us. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. I have a lot more.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at 11 in the morning. And we're here for you to bring you all kinds of information and to clear up misinformation and to get you on the right track so you're not going crazy and freaking out like so many people are today with this coronavirus. And, you know, what I want to say is that it's not something that needs to be taken lightly, but it's not one that should be reacting, in my opinion, as much as we are. You know, as I said, in 43 years of practice, I've been exposed to virtually everything that you can possibly be exposed to. And you need to be proactive in keeping your health strong across the board. Now, if you know that you have problems that every time you get a cold, you go to your respiratory system or you're susceptible to pneumonia and things of that nature, you're at a much greater risk. And, you know, you should take greater action in protecting your life. But it should be an ongoing process. It should not be something that you just do because somebody's pushing the panic button. It should be something that you take the responsibility for and hooking up with people that don't do crisis intervention, but do preventive and supportive care. But you want to talk about enzymes and enzyme therapies. You want to talk about nutritional patterns. You know, a patient the other day said, you know, well, you know, I think you're right, but I'm still afraid. Well, of course you're afraid because you can't listen to all the talking heads on television and not be concerned. They are going to put you in a state of panic. You know, if you wanted to make money right now, you go in and buy the stock on all the people who are doing, you know, the hand sanitizers and disposables and the old Clorox and things of that nature. And just remember, you know, hot water, really hot water and soap will kill most of this stuff. It's all gone. And, you know, you wash your clothes and you brush it off and you make sure that you eat properly and just don't go out and, you know, eat a bowl of ice cream for dinner and, you know, drop your immune system down around your toenails. It's critical that you support your body. Get a little exercise. Get outside on a beautiful day today and go for a walk. You don't have to hook up with a lot of people. Just go for a walk. Get some fresh air and sunshine. You know, that vitamin D that will probably about April now be sufficient enough to stimulate you. If you're out there for an hour a day, you know, you can supplement that. You know, there's a test. It's called 25-hydroxy vitamin D3 that you can get your doctor to run and see what your D levels are. You know, you can make sure that you're drinking a lot of water. How much do I mean? Half of your body weight in ounces every day. Get rid of all the garbage you put in your system. Remember my mantra, get rid of sugars and sodas and coffee and black teas and fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, added additives, preservatives, and GMO products. Yeah, I know, I took away all of your dietary patterns, but you know, good lean proteins, tons and tons of vegetables, low levels of juice, eat berries, you know, for their high antioxidant levels. And I promise you, those are the things that will make you better. But you have to be proactive. It's not that you're going to be totally immune to this stuff. Well, some of you will. As I said, many of us have been exposed to everything over a period of years, and we're in a pretty good place. You know, my family, people ask, you know, well, does your family ever get sick? And it's like, rarely. You've heard me talk about my children who are now full-grown adults with their own children. You know, they were treated from a conservative platform. They had great food. Their mother's, you know, nutritionist, and they got their normal supplementations, not inoculations, supplementations. And, you know, they got great exercise, and they kept a good schedule. And, you know, they got treated with acupuncture and structural manipulation and all those things together. Subsequently, my son, you know, we used to laugh about it and said, he would never get sick, or if he got sick, it'd last for a very short period of time. And, you know, two quick stories. The school nurse would call and said, your son's here, and he says he's sick. I said, has he thrown up? No. Does he have a fever? No. I said, call me when he does. And, you know, he would say, Dad, can I have a sick school day? And I said, no, your job is to go to school. My job is to go to work and see patients. So please understand, you know, this is not something to overreact to. It's something to be concerned about, but it's something to be proactive. You know, go in and read as much as you can, but on both sides of it. There's a website, Mercola.com. It's Joe Mercola. He's an osteopath. He's got 26 writers that do research and writing. Look up coronavirus. It's right on his webpage, and he'll give you some data that I think all of you should know about. It's not something that, you know, you should not be uninformed, but be informed across the board. Understand it. Understand the things that you can get done to make things better for you and your family and the people that you care about. You know, there's step-by-step precautions that we all should be taking anyway throughout the year. And if you do those things, I promise you, it's not going to be a bad experience. Those of you who have respiratory problems and are compromised in that way, you need to take extra precautions. And, you know, there's an argument that needs to be made on that level. We're coming up to a break. Just remember, I do this program because I love you.